Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 31st, 2020. You've made it to the end of another month. I'm Greg Miller, and this is my co-host, the man, Major Nelson.
Is it? Thank you. Could 2020? Could you be over already, please?
I agree. 2020 needs to end as fast as possible. But it also, can you believe it's going to be August tomorrow? Like, where this month was gone.
This month flew by so fast. I think August tends to do it. Usually in August, I'm going to Gamescom and I'm just coming out of Comic-Con. So yep. It's crazy, but it's going to be a long month because I'll be sitting at home like the rest of the world. Most of it, I should say.
Luckily, there's a lot of games to play. That's helpful.
Yeah, there is a lot of games to play. Some of them are up there on my console right there. And yep. We're going to talk about some stuff today, right?
You know that. Today we're going to be talking about 343, talking about Halo graphics, Star Wars Squadrons price tag explained, and Battletoads finally has a release date, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can ask us questions, comment on the news, give us your squad up requests, and oh so much more. Of course, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the post show we do each and every weekday, and there's a bevy of other benefits, including Gregway, which just went up today, and Blessway, which is also up as well. All that's on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Sometimes it'll start like the first start today, where I was like screaming, "No, Kevin, no, I wasn't paying attention. I didn't have the right window open." And then Larry's mic broke immediately. So you can see all sorts of crazy stuff if you want to watch live on Twitch. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you're wrong. And tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. I used to pound on the desk, Gary, but then we switched desks in the home setup, and when I do it reverberates into Jen's office, and she's like, what are you doing?
I did a lot of that in my early days of radio, and it was a bad thing. I mean, I got in a lot of trouble for that. Now I don't go. I'm so sensitive to anything on my desk that I don't even touch it. So
smart. All right, yeah. I try to communicate that to Kevin, but he likes to eat ice
Boo,
into his microphone.
Bang your desk. Boo, bang the desk.
Kevin has his own version of what the show should be.
I'm sorry. What's wrong with eating ice cream?
No, not ice cream, ice. Remember how I was talking about you with your mason jars and you're clanging
like
them in the...
eating ice. I like drinking cold water. There's nothing wrong with
that. Do you eat ice? Are you an ice chewer?
If it's shavings, yes, or the little pellet kind. I'm very picky. I don't want to get the big, like, you know, rectangular pieces. No, thank you.
You know, we Greg, we talked about yesterday in the other show where you were talking about some of my personal stuff. I'm actually a huge ice aficionado.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I love a good clear ice. I'm a big fan of cold draft ice, which is an ice machine that makes perfectly square clear cubes. So, sorry.
I like this.
This is you just
we're
you just
thinking
definitely
for the new studio to buy an ice machine. And,
because like for instance at the office, people go in there and take that stuff out of the refrigerator. You know that ice machine, and I'm just like, never.
Big glass. Yeah, no. Kevin is obsessed with ice to the point that, he still doesn't forgive me for this one time we went to this one restaurant. He wanted me to try this pellet ice, and I didn't do it, and he still rubs my face in it to this
Here's
day.
The thing, Larry. We went to this place. Yeah. Now, they have great, great Indian-style burritos, okay? Fantastic. Yep. Mm-hmm. Greg wouldn't try one. That's fine. I said, Greg... At the very least,
why would you not try a burrito?
He's got problems.
It's not that I want to try. I wasn't hungry, Larry.
No,
it was so late.
Larry, we went there with the purpose to eat. Like he was.
You
hungry.
Did. I didn't.
Instead,
I had
what he got
water,
was a
delicious.
Box of water. A box of water instead of using this amazing machine that we were talking about for almost the whole. It's a $3,000 ice and water machine that like I think that we should buy for the company. Because it mixes it perfectly. They're small pellets which they melt quicker and get
the
your
crushed ice.
Ice
if you usually get it yeah. Sonic, the little
yes,
pellets.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I know exactly
this man Sonic. Knows his ice.
I love stumbling upon this obsession of you, Major Nelson, aka yeah, sure. Larry from Xbox. Yeah. I didn't say that at the top, but I always assume everybody knows who you are. But I remember yesterday on Cool Friends, people were like, who's Larry? But yeah, we did it. So housekeeping, everybody. Don't forget, you can go right now to youtube.com/kindoffunny and, of course, the podcast feed for We Have Cool Friends. Larry and I have a great conversation that we both
really thank you for that. Thank you for everybody that joined us, and thank you for everybody that watched.
No, thank you so much. And, you know, thank you for retweeting it. Oh, wait, you didn't. Oh, wait,
did I? Funny is I replied to you and I was thinking about this. I hate retweeting stuff about me.
Sure. But that your audience wants to learn more about you. They want to hear your stories. You know what I mean?
All right. Let me go dig up Twitter.
We did it, Kevin. We guilted him. You go dig it up. I'll tell you about the rest of housekeeping. There's a bunch today. At 1 p.m., guess what? For some reason, I'm revealing a new Bugsnacks character. You can find it. Kevin's showing you what that Bugsnack there I will be revealing on Twitter. Twitter.com/GameOverGreggy, 1 p.m. Pacific time. What kind of Bugsnack would Greg Miller reveal? Also for you, IGDA Play It Forward is today. It's a live stream raising money, of course, for IGDA, a great organization that's helping all sorts of developers and minority developers. I'm hosting an allyship panel at 4 p.m. Pacific with Khalif, Steven Spawn, of course, from Able Gamers, Khalif obviously from Spawn and Me, and many more of your friends and favorites you've seen on Kind of Funny before. You can watch that at 4 p.m. Twitch.tv/ShaqNews. If you miss it live, we are putting it up as a We Have Cool Friends, not this Monday, but the Monday after that. Yes.
Yes. I feel like I'm going to say something.
Oh, this is, you just focus on the retweets. Here, this is for you. This is for you.
Okay.
Episode 3 of the Kind of Funny XCast, our brand new 6-week pilot program Xbox podcast, post tomorrow at 6 a.m. Your host will be Snowbike Mike, Alana Pierce, and Major Nelson. We are putting you through the ringer. This is, of course, Major Nelson's Kind of Funny weekend.
This is my third, that'll be my third appearance with you guys this week. I don't even know what to say to it.
I'm glad it finally happened. I think that's the thing is, you know, we've always wanted to do stuff, but when we could travel, it made it so tough. And now that it's easier to set everything up, we're getting bang for your buck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm in. I'm right in. I'm all in on what you're doing.
I appreciate that I've had conversations with Snowbike Mike. Obviously, I had conversations with myself of like, too, that every show's different. Like, we're not like, you know, doubling up and like, you know, having you say the same stories over and over again. Only We Have Cool Friends has that Mr. Rogers story, which was awesome.
Right. But that was an exclusive.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I told my wife I told that story and she's like,
what'd she say?
Did? She's like, you did? I'm like, yeah, it was a great story. So she did.
She's like, how did a video game podcast get to that? And you're like, honey, this guy does not talk about games half the time.
Exactly.
You're going to come out today and we talked about the ice machine somehow too.
Exactly.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, AKA Momo, Blackjack, AKA The Man. Today we're brought to you by Brooklyn, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I got 4 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen.
First and foremost, over on the... You okay there? You want to keep going, Kev? That was a long Baker's Dozen. I wasn't prepared for that one. I appreciate it. Over on HaloWaypoint.com, they put up an FAQ answering a whole bunch of different questions. It is a fantastic FAQ if you have questions outside of that Halo demo. Of course, they talk about what we're about to talk about, which is multiplayer beta and the whole graphics brouhaha. But on top of that, they talk about characters, split screen, pronunciations, and more. So you should go to HaloWaypoint.com to read the entire thing. But here's what I pulled out that I thought was interesting for us to discuss. Larry. Yes. First, we want to acknowledge that, yes, we've heard the feedback coming from parts of the community regarding the visuals in the Halo Infinite campaign demo. While we see and hear far more positive than negative, we do want to share a bit of context. From our perspective, there are two key areas being debated around the community: overall art style and visual fidelity. Based on our learnings from Halo 4, Halo 5, and Halo Wars 2, along with strong community feedback, we decided to shift back towards the legacy aesthetics that defined the original trilogy. With Halo Infinite, we're returning to a more classic art style, which was a key message going back to the very first reveal that garnered enthusiastic and positive responses. This translates to a more vibrant palette, cleaner models, and objects with less noise, though it doesn't mean less detail. While we appreciate this may not be everyone's personal preference, we stand by this decision and are happy to see it resonating with so many fans around the world. The second theme being discussed involves visual fidelity. Negative feedback in this area includes comments about characters and objects appearing flat, simplistic and plastic light, lighting feeling dull and flat, and object pop-in. We've read your comments. We've seen the homemade examples of retouch content. And yes, we've heard the Digital Foundry assessments. In many ways, we are in agreement here. We do have work to do to address some of these areas and raise the level of fidelity of the overall presentation of the game. The build used to run the campaign demo is a work in progress from several weeks ago, with a variety of graphical elements and game systems still being finished and polished. While some of the feedback was expected and speaks to areas already in progress, other aspects of the feedback have brought new opportunities and considerations to light that the team is taking very seriously and working to assess. We don't have firm answers or outcomes to share yet, but the team is working as quickly as possible on plans to address some of the feedback around detail, clarity, and overall fidelity. The team is committed and focused to making sure we have a beautiful world for players to explore when we launch. Let's tackle that first, Lair. When you saw it, because you're obviously, as we talked about in We Have Cool Friends, you've been there for every Xbox, so you've been there for every Halo. This all goes hand in hand for you. When you first saw this aesthetic choice and then visual fidelity of it, what did you think?
Well, so let me be clear. The funny thing was, is that was the first time I'm a Halo fanboy.
Sure.
I grew up with it, you know, loved it, worked on it. And I tell stories all the time of during the development of Halo 2 and Halo 3, when Bungie, which was at that point owned by Microsoft, was just a building over. I'd go over there for meetings and I would famously walk in like this because I didn't want to see anything on anybody's screen. So that the first, what I'm getting at is that when it was shown on the show, that was the first time I had seen it.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, this looks great. I instantly understood what they were doing, you know, in terms of what they wanted. And I know Chris Lee, I know the EP very well. I worked with him for many years. So I was like, okay, this is great. I'd love to see what it's doing. I just want to make sure it plays like Halo. And that's what I wanted to, that's what I saw. I saw that it was playing like Halo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm not a Halo fanboy. And as you know, most people on the internet would term me a PlayStation fanboy.
Oh, they do.
Oh, do they? I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Sony Pony? I haven't heard that. Yeah. when I saw it, I thought it looked great. And I granted, you know, I'm not the hardcore fan base. I didn't have expectations coming into that realm of what it was going to look like or what it should look like. But for me, as somebody, even with a passing knowledge of Halo, right? Like right now I'm doing, we did the second section of episodes for my first ever full playthrough of Combat Evolved yesterday.
A question.
Yeah.
Are you playing it with Green Thumb?
What's that? I'm sorry. I don't know. What is? I'm new. Larry, be nice. I'm trying. What's Green Thumb?
It's a stick configuration where you push in on the right stick and it melees versus hitting B.
Yeah. No. I'm doing that. I was doing the. I forget when we set that up right away where we made it as realistic. No. I just don't know the name of. Well, first off, no one's expecting me to know anything about classic control schemes. No, okay. I'm doing that where it all feels normal, and like when I can't aim down sights, I'm using left trigger. We moved to that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tim is my Sherpa in this. Tim, of course, has played every Halo dozens of times. So he's the one, as soon as we started, he's like, let's get you into something. And I was going to do Bumper Jumper because back when Alfredo Diaz was trying to teach me Titanfall so I could be good at Titanfall, that's what he switched me over to, of course, because that had been his default thing off of Halo as well.
Sure.
But
sure.
Tim put an end to that or whatever. So I'm playing through over there. However, I digress. As somebody who had, you know, did that and then played Halo 3, 4, and 5 and ODST somewhere in there. Like looking at it, I thought it looked good. I thought it looked interesting. I thought it looked pretty in the same way. I know is what Tim talked about in the post show of when this started up of like, oh man, well, isn't that detailed? It isn't that thing. And he was like, well, sure, but it's making a choice. Like this doesn't look like this because shucks, we can't get any more out of the Xbox. It looks at it as because we're making a stylistic choice in the same vein as Breath of the Wild or something to that effect. Right.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, and so I was excited when I saw it because I was like, this is, you know, feels like classic Halo. We all remember in Halo 1 Combat Evolved landing on the ring and looking up and having those oh wow moments and having the Phantom come in and drop the Covenant. So I was like, this is great. And then of course the grappling hook we saw.
The grappling hook is dope, right?
Yeah. I was like, what?
I want to bring in Nanobiologist. Nanobiologist wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can. It says, hi, Greg and Mr. Herb. He's being very polite there. You know what I mean?
Don't need to be. I see. That's fine. Okay.
We can start calling you Larry. We can start calling you Larry.
Sure,
We got some interesting tidbits about Halo Infinite after they responded to the major announcements of criticism they received. Larry, I assume you can't comment too much on this matter, but what are your thoughts on the debate slash common critique of, quote, it doesn't look next gen, that we've heard time and time again from Ghost of Tsushima to every other major tentpole title? Do you think that next gen won't be graphical upgrades, but rather rendering speeds like what we've seen so far with The Medium, Ratchet & Clank, and Microsoft Flight Simulator? Are there other ways that we should judge what is next gen and what it'll mean as we enter August and the next wave of presentations and the holiday season and the launch of both consoles?
Well, the nanobiologist, that is a well-formulated question.
That's what he does here day in, day out.
I think the answer is, you know, we saw, and I go back to, you know, you heard me yesterday talking about Xbox 360 and that launch, because that was a couple things were going on. That was the beginning of the HD era. You know, most people had 4x3 tubes in their houses. All of a sudden, we were now getting 720 televisions and some 1080p's. So that was the moment in 2005-ish, 2004, 5, and 6, where the display technology was making that transfer over to high def. So that's what we saw. So now we've got high def, and of course we went to 4K over the past few years. I think we've kind of settled in on graphic fidelity and what people want, you know, what they're willing to pay for, because you can always get the most expensive 8K screen and beyond.
Of course.
But, you know, kind of what's mainstream. And I think that this generation we're going to see, you know, you kind of articulated it, which is we're going to see speeds, the speeds of the console, the speeds of loading time. The speeds are just, we're going to see that type of resolution and the quickness that doesn't feel like load screens are just going to kind of fade away. So yeah, I think that you're hopefully right. It's not as easy as, oh, this thing has the shiniest graphics, therefore it is the best, therefore it is next gen. Because we've all played, Greg, I know you have, I've played the games that we've played games that are some of the most incredible games in the world that maybe aren't maxing out a piece of hardware.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, it's about having fun and having those replay moments. I'm not going to say that the Xbox Series X, it can do amazing graphical things. You're going to see some of those things. We saw some of those things in our show last week. But there's so many other facets of this generation. Now, we talked about the console. That's certainly one facet. But the next facet is things like Game Pass, things like xCloud, which are kind of this beautiful halo, and I'm not I don't want to use that term incorrectly because we're talking about Halo, but there's this constellation of things you can do with your games. We're putting gamers at Microsoft and Xbox. We're putting gamers at the center. You want a console? You want the world's most powerful console? We got you covered there. You want to play your device? We got you covered there. You want to play all the games with a subscription? We got you covered there. So it's. The next gen is about a whole series of things and broadening the beachhead. It's not just about graphics.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so hard to wrap your head around, because I think I know we talk about, you know, Xbox 360, right? PlayStation 2, Super NES, N64, like these strides that I remember seeing these things, I'm like, this is so real. And as we continue,
we're all going to get Pixel or Pixar movie quality, right?
Exactly. Right. And so as we've continued down this track of, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination, tapping out what video game graphics can be, but those gigantic strides are harder to make when everybody's working off of similar architecture, and the tech's caught up to a point, right, where it is accelerating so quickly that we're talking about incremental upgrades. We're talking about the Xbox One to the Xbox One X, right? Like where it was, hey, this is, you know, a little bit better, or it's better, but it's, you know, you're getting more juice out of the apple kind of thing.
And you're able to see these graphics, but these graphics now are better. They're not like 10x better. They're quite a bit better. But things are loading faster. So it's this whole elements, all these experiences. And that's kind of one of the struggling things we're having, because you know, at Xbox, without a gaming event like E3 or Gamescom, you know, people having hands-on and seeing that game load quickly, people can't, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, it's difficult to explain it over the internet, you know, with everybody in their houses.
Dude, this is the other thing I came out again. And again, I'm Greg Miller, PlayStation fanboy number one. When all this started happening, thank you for doing a lot to stop this.
Guilty as charged.
But last week when it was me and Blessing on this show, and we were talking about this, and he was like, what do you think about, you know, the people who are all upset about this, because we were doing another news story about Halo graphics. I was like, for me, man, this is much ado about nothing. I think if this had happened at normal E3, if E3 would have gone off without a hitch, and everybody would have gone into either the behind closed doors, let's see some another mission, let's see something different, or we all would have played that demo, you would have people coming out and being like, oh man, well, when I was playing it, it totally looks the way it should, and this is how it feels, and it feels like Halo, and it looks like Halo, and the grappling hook's so much fun, blah, blah, blah. But when everybody, because of the world we're in, you know, gets the same 8-minute thing, all there is that this insatiable hunger for more that people go in and tear apart and get into and then have these feelings. And, you know, even the 343 blog post mentioning Digital Foundry, you know, yesterday while we were doing Combat Evolved, Tim was talking about that and how they're, you know, and I haven't seen it, but what they were saying of like, well, the real-time lighting is something they're using here and that is actually making it look different as you go around. So like when you're in the sun, it looks like this. When you're like this, blah, blah. And they're talking about the trick of the trade.
It's the nuances of how you're harnessing the technology in this generation that aren't readily apparent until it's just one of those things. And again, we're getting to the point where things feel so natural in the world that of course the lighting comes through there, but when it's missing, it feels weird.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's, you know, when people get their hands on it, it'll be a completely different story. I kept comparing it to Spider-Man and the puddles that were the biggest thing for a long time there. Like I said, this Halo waypoint.com blog post /FAQ has a bunch of other stuff. But the one thing I wanted to put in here was, what about the multiplayer beta? The Xbox Game Showcase was only meant to focus on Halo Infinite's campaign. However, I can't blame you all for being curious about the multiplayer experience. As Chris Lee mentioned in his blog, which accompanied the demo last week, our original plans for large-scale flighting, aren't where we originally intended, in large part due to the challenges of working from home during the COVID-19 pandemic. At this time, we're honestly not sure which is going to be possible in terms of flighting, but we still hope to have an opportunity for broader public hands-on before release. And as we've previously stated, we'll be relying on flighting and continued feedback and community partnership well beyond launch as we grow and evolve the game together. So like I said, great post up there. Go read it. And also, I think, you know, especially, you know, with the people being either upset, liking it, fighting with each other, yada, yada, yada. I think it's good on 343 for coming out and talking to everybody. I think that's, you know, Larry, we were talking yesterday about you being the face of Xbox Live and how we've both seen the industry change. And the fact that I think developers know that when they can, they will come out and talk to you and be like, hey, we hear you. But I love the choice of, hey, we hear you, but we made a choice and we're standing by that choice and this is what we want.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that Bungie has done very well. And when Bungie moved on and the Halo and 343 took the Halo, the torch forward, that's always been a hallmark of the Halo community is this open conversation and community element. So I mean, Unicheck, those guys over there, great. They know what they're doing. I will not speak on their behalf. I can't, I don't. I read the blog post just like you guys did. And I'm like, okay, got it. Cool. You guys are the experts. Let me know when you're ready.
Well, Larry.
Yeah.
Number two on the Roper Report. Speaking of Halo multiplayer, is it free to play? We go to IGN where Joe Scrabbles files this report. Also, if you didn't know, Larry, Joe Scrabbles is a made-up name and not a real person at IGN. Okay. It's just a name that they all use as a pseudonym.
Got it.
Halo Infinite will feature a free-to-play multiplayer mode and run at up to 120 frames per second on Xbox Series X, according to a retailer listing and other sources. Smith's Toys includes Halo Infinite in its listing for Xbox Series X, saying, quote, the legendary Halo series returns with the most expansive Master Chief campaign yet and a groundbreaking free-to-play multiplayer experience. Enjoy up to 120 frames per second and greatly reduced load times, creating seamless gameplay with Xbox Series X, end quote. Both sources for Windows Central and noted Xbox Insider Clobriel, I'm going to say, or do you know him? have since supported the claim that Halo Infinite's multiplayer will be free to play. Clobriel adds that the 120 frames per second is an aim for arena mode on Xbox Series X and that multiplayer will include a battle pass system and feature types of customization new to the Halo series. We've contacted Xbox for comment. We've heard previously that Halo Infinite's campaign will run at a locked 60 frames per second, which, this is Greg, not Joe, was confirmed again and driven home in that FAQ, I think, that was published since this. And the idea that multiplayer would both run and be released in a different fashion to the single-player portion fits with 343's plan for Halo Infinite to become more of a platform than a standalone game series. Major Nelson, take it away.
I don't have anything to say. I have no idea. I'm not yeah. part of that conversation. I'm just as interested as everybody else.
Yeah, that's what is interesting to me. Again, this is an episode where, you know, I don't have a horse in the race or anything like that, and I'm not the Halo dude or whatever, but I do find it, if it was free to play, that's going to be fascinating, because if the game, it's already in Game Pass, which I think is, you know, such a motivating factor to go get it on Game Pass, but just having what the story would be in a Game Pass is interesting, but then it does fit into this thing of their giant plan of what it would be in terms of this being just more of a platform than a one-time off, one-time game. It's fascinating, and it would be an interesting move, and I want to know more, Larry.
I know you want to. I would love to know more, and like I say, I'm looking forward to hearing from what 343 has to say in the future. As I said earlier, I'm a Halo fanboy, and I'm gonna learn about it when everybody else does.
Do you like that or hate that? That you're like you are Xbox, but you still walk around with your blinders on, and then stuff like this happens.
Well, it's funny. It allows me to come on shows like yours and just say, and say, I don't know, because I don't know. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to tell you that. You know, I could have easily said, Greg, I saw this news this morning. I'm not coming on your show. Yeah. I'll come on the show. I don't have anything to say because I don't know. I mean, I work on the platform. I don't work on the games. Those guys are the experts when it comes to the games.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, this goes back to what we were talking about yesterday with We Have Cool Friends. I talk about it all the time where, if somebody agrees to come on Kind of Funny, period, you know that they're probably cool, right? Like, they understand what we do and who we are, and that we're going to, you know, have a bunch of jokes and Kevin's getting interrupted with his ice. Yeah, exactly. But I think that also cuts both ways, that you're a cool person if you're going to come on, right? And like I said, and We Have Cool Friends, when I asked you yesterday, I'm like, do you get tired of people calling you just he's just a mouthpiece for Xbox? And you were just like, no, I don't give them the time of day, right? Like, I've touched so many lives, and that's what's so great, and I am who I am, and if you don't like it, too bad. And this is a great example of, yeah, like, there are, and I'm not naming names or anything like that, there are a lot of other people, I think, from Company X that, you know, they work on the inside, and they were going to come on the show. And if something like this would have happened, we would have been like, oh, double book, different meeting happened. And you're here being honest. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I want to come on. I want to talk to you about games, and we'll see what, you know, I have no idea what that studio is up to. And I know that the Halo franchise is in great hands. I'm looking forward to see what they have planned. I know a lot of the people working on it, and I'm excited to see what they have to say.
I want to pivot this question then to something I think that I want your opinion on, because it talks to both of the things we're talking about, of what will define next generation, and then a little bit of this, but not really about this news story. Okay. Parker Petroff writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Happy Friday, KFGD. It's being reported that Halo multiplayer mode will feature 120 frames per second. At the May Xbox Showcase, Dirt 5 and Gran Turismo in June were also featured as having 120 frames per second modes. Do you foresee these high FPS options being more common this generation? Do you think this will cause gamers to adopt higher-end televisions to take advantage of these modes, as we will only have just started seeing TVs in 2019, LG, OLED models, limited Samsung models, etc.? However, in 2020, we're seeing more televisions starting to support this standard. Larry, I love video games.
Yep.
And I love video games that look good. Mm-hmm. I've never had a taste for the tech part of it. Like, it's that thing where it's just, I feel like tech moves so fast, and I'm just excited. It's back to, I think, honestly, a little bit what we were talking about with Halo, right? Is the game fun to play? Yes.
Yep.
And I'm in, let's go. And it's also that thing of, for me, you know, where do I want to spend my money? I want to spend my money on the boxes and the services and the games. And then when we get to, well, if you get this crazy TV that's $4,000, I'm like, no way, right? Like, for me, there's always these tipping points where, for I remember when I got my 360, which was my first HD console, right? And I was playing on this CRT TV, right? And it was smushed and bad. And it wasn't until GTA 4, like, I was already working at IGN when I brought that home, and I was like, all right, it's time. And like, I had to have Chris Roper and Craig Harris take me to a Costco and walk me through the different OLED TVs and what I should get and how I should be. And even this guy, right? Like, I had the Series X, and I had this Xbox One X, and I had my PlayStation 4 Pro, but I was still running them on a normal TV, not a 4K, not nothing. And then one day Tim walked in, he's like, hey, IGN has a deal of the day, and this TV's dirt cheap, and you need to get it. And I was like, all right, whatever. And now I look at it, and I'm like, what a beautiful picture. But I wasn't before looking at it. So anyways, long story short is, I don't have a taste for this stuff. Where do you come down on this 120 frames per second?
Well, I think, you know, that's, you know, you, the, your listener/viewer/who wrote that in, I think they're right. I mean, 120 hertz that high frame rate is going to be absolutely part of this. The fast load times, 120. I know people that want to play, would rather play 120 hertz game at 1080p than have a 4K game running at 60. Because it just feels smoother. And it's, again, it's all up to taste and it's about choice. But I mean, this TV I have behind me is not a 120. So I need to get that replaced. Thank you for reminding me.
Throw it away. I'll smash it for you next time I'm up there.
But yeah, I think that 120 hertz is going to be part of the, I don't know what studios have planned. You know, he talked about Dirt 5. Of course, they've confirmed some of that. But I think that absolutely is going to be part of this because that's kind of what people want. They want to have that buttery, smooth experience.
And it's back to the conversation, right? That I think in the old days, it was so easy to point to graphics and be like, that's that. Yeah. That's better. Whereas
here's
this is
A, the... here's B. This has more polygons. This doesn't, therefore.
Yeah.
So.
And now we keep moving the needle on these smaller things. But yeah, I to Parker's question, I do see more people adopting it in terms of this is how we're going to set ourselves apart. This is how we're going to stress that we're the best looking game or, you know.
Well, I mean, there's also a lot of technology like ray tracing. Like we've got a lot of ray tracing action going on with Xbox Series X. We've talked about that extensively on our Velocity architecture. So there's a lot of those elements too that, again, yes, maybe they'll come through in a screenshot, but when you stand in a environment that uses ray tracing and you move your character around and you're getting that real-time reflection and whatnot and the dust and the sunlight, then it's pretty amazing.
Well, sure. It's like the Ninja Theory screenshots they put up that one time.
Yeah.
And I literally on the show was like, they're just showing images of their office. And people are like, no, you moron, that's in the game. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's proof in the pudding kind of thing of playing these games and feeling what
they're like. Proof in the pudding that, you know, you really don't know the tech.
I'm a moron. You know what I mean? I don't know how I failed upwards this far, but it just keeps happening and I don't point it out that often.
Keep going.
Number three on the Roper Report. Why is Star Wars Squadrons $40? This is Jeremy Winslow over at GameSpot. EA has explained why Star Wars Squadrons, which launches on October 2nd for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, will cost only $40 at launch, much lower than most big budget games currently releasing on consoles and PC. According to COO and CFO Blake Jorgensen, the game doesn't have the same breadth of content as other more expensive games, as it is much more focused on a specific experience. Quote, we always look at the games and we want to make sure that we are providing the greatest value for our player, Jorgensen says. And you know, games have a different scale, and most of our games right now have a huge scale. We designed Squadrons to really focus on what we heard from consumers, which is one of their greatest fantasies, and that's to be able to fly an X-Wing fighter, a TIE fighter, and be in a dogfight. And so it doesn't have the breadth of some of our games, but it's still an incredible game. And I always hate when the quotes are literally somebody on the phone because, you know, because the person's just rambling. It's like if you try to quote me on a podcast, it would just go on, go on, go. And so that's why we chose to price it slightly lower level, to also allow access to as many people as possible who have that Star Wars fantasy. I think you've seen us over the years differentiate pricing on a lot of games. We've differentiated pricing on things like Plants vs. Zombies games because we knew that they were skewed for younger audiences, for example, or maybe didn't have enough depth of all the game modes that you might see in a FIFA or Madden. Andrew Wilson chimes in and says similar things and it goes on that way, but I like this story because I want to see this, Larry. I want to see more publishers and, I mean, developers of their indies and publishing on their own embrace that $60 doesn't mean that that's a real game and $40 means it's a budget experience and you're doing right. It. I love the idea.
To build on that, the fact that that's, you know, the success we've had with Game Pass, just because it shows up in Game Pass doesn't mean it's not a great game. That's absolutely not true at all. That is not an indicator or measure of quality at all.
Yeah. And so I like to see people explore that scale. And my question for you is somebody who has such a history and is so on the inside. Do you think as we continue to march towards this digital era, that'll become more and more the case? Do you think that next generation is this time where it's going to be, all right, cool, like anything goes? It is, because even now it's like, is it $1 or 99 cents? Is it $4.99? Is it $9.99? Is it $15? Is it $25? Is it $40?
Well, look, I mean, the games are expensive to produce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have such tremendous respect for those small indie developers that are two or three people, and these AAAs that have hundreds of people working on them because they're managing this tremendous budget and experience and timeline. So I mean, I don't think for somebody who's worked in the industry that we're going to do ourselves any favors with the race to zero, right?
Sure.
We don't want to have 99-cent games and things like that. That's just not those. We've played those games, you know, largely on mobile, and some of them aren't really good.
Yeah, right? The mobile market, right? It's a different scheme because of that, and like you right. see all these games trying to put in there. How do we get you right. back on the daily? How do we make you come back? How do we make you spend?
Sure, sure. But I think you know when we see new programs like we talked about again. I keep hating going back to Game Pass, but that's a great example where games can get in there and of all different values and find that user base because these users are members and they can download it. You and I are Game Pass members. I can text you and say, hey, why don't we go download game XYZ and play that tonight? And you're like, well, of course, I'm a member. I'll download it. Done, right?
You don't got nothing to lose. Yeah.
Got nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. So that's kind of what it's all about. So I think this we're going to see experimenting and things like that, and hopefully a lot more games coming onto programs like Game Pass.
Sure. You know, you talk about when we're talking about pricing and all the stuff that, you know, it's expensive to make a game.
Yeah.
How, and I know this is a little bit outside of your department over there, but sure. I know it's a conversation that goes on. How do you with Game Pass make sure you're paying, like there's always these arguments, right, of like, well, is Game Pass gonna end up, because everybody loves it right now and I agree it's the best value in gaming, is it gonna end up hurting the market or hurting developers? Right now I always talk about it, and tell me if you've heard stories that are wrong, that Game Pass is fantastic because on top of the fact it's getting games to everybody, it's going to developers, and not every developer but lots of developers, and going, hey, here's the amount of money we're going to offer you, which in best case scenario covers you already, puts you into the black, let alone what you'll make on PC or what you'll selling it to people who don't use Game Pass, right? Like, what you talk about games costing more and this whole financial argument, like where do you think the conversation is going with that in terms of being good for the industry, being good for the developers, being good for Xbox?
Well, you know, I can't talk about the economics because that's not my that's not my bailiwick, and that's not something I should even remotely talk about.
And I'll be damned if I have Aaron Greenberg on the show again. All right, like, you know what I mean? Get him out of here.
But you know, I could just tell you that there's a lot of Game Pass developers in the Game Pass program who are thrilled because their game is seeing, you know, 2-3x the usage, and people are getting excited about the game and they're trialing the game and they're checking it out. You know, it's easy to look at other scenarios and go, gee, would we have ever gotten something like The Sopranos or the Game of Thrones if it wasn't part of the subscription service, right? Would a network have made that bet? So I wonder if we're, I don't know, but I wonder if we're going to get to the point where, you know, some developers are going to bet big on games because it's going to come into Game Pass and it's going to be experience that you was not possible through any other mechanism other than something like Game Pass.
And I, you know what? I had this down later on because, of course, things come to Game Pass every day. So I have a bunch of games that are coming to Game Pass later on. But more importantly, this is a news item that I put down there. Let's talk about Carry On real quick as a side item to this story, right? While we talk about Game Pass. Am I saying it wrong? Is it Carry On? Carry On? Carry On? I think Carrion, I've been saying Carrion the entire time, but then I think Imran pronounced it differently, and Imran's smarter than me, but I digress. Carrion released last week to widespread critical and commercial success, with nearly 200,000 copies sold and hundreds of thousands of players on Xbox Game Pass. And then it talks about going on and you can get the game or whatever. This is yet another example of that, where, you know, there was this argument early on with Game Pass and even PlayStation Plus to an extent. But if we put our, there was this thing from the outside, I think, and from people maybe who weren't using the thing as a developer, that if you put your game onto these platforms, right, gave it away for free, in quotes, because obviously you got paid for it, but that would eat into your sales. And then there was this, I remember the quote, what, it must have been 2 years ago now, of just like, no, games that are on Game Pass actually sell better. They actually see the opposite of that trend. And I think this is such a great example of it yet again, of Carrion is on Switch, it's on PC, and it's on Game Pass. And so you could buy an Xbox normally too, but you, it's basically influencer marketing in a way, right? Of like the way we get codes and then we talk about those games, not every time, but you know, most of the time, is the same thing here and the same thing you're talking about, right, Larry? Where it is, hey, this game's out, you want to play it? You already subscribed, so you're basically taking a chance for nothing. And you play it, and you, I mean, you like it, you talk about it.
Yeah, you're a subscriber. Why aren't you? Check it out. I mean, it doesn't, you know, when I subscribe to Netflix or anything, I'm not going to go, oh, should I look at, watch that? Well, I don't care. I'll try it for 20 minutes. I'll try it for an hour. I may get hooked. I may not. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of in the similar vein of what you're seeing here with Game Pass.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And the fact that the, I mean, let's talk about this for just 1 second because we're
let's
talking
do it, man. It's a podcast. I'm in.
We take are
someone talk- for the XCast though.
We are talking, you know, all the games we showed on the showcase last week.
Yeah.
Are going to show up in Game Pass.
Yep.
That's tremendous. That is, I mean, we talked about Halo's going to show up there. All the rest of the titles we showed are going to appear in Game Pass. That is a watershed moment. That is, to me, that's huge.
I again, as PlayStation fanboy number one, you are not incorrect. Like, I 100% agree with you. And I think that is the message a lot of people missed. And I think that they came in very much, and I'm not trying to start anything, but people came in very much being like, all right, it's the Xbox Series X showcase. We're going to see these get involved. And it was very much that it got a mention from Phil at the top, right? Of like, we have all these different ways. It'll be the best place to play on Series X. That's where it's at. But all of this is in the ecosystem, let alone xCloud in September when that's paired up with Game Pass Ultimate. And you look at that and you go, that is the seismic shift. That is the difference. And even the conversation we're having right now, right? I feel of, okay, cool. You have nothing to lose. If you're at home right now and you're like, oh, well, I don't have an Xbox. I just have a Switch. I just have a PC. I have whatever. When xCloud comes to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and I'm assuming you guys don't remove it, it's still $1 to try.
Right.
What do you have to lose suddenly? And like, you hear people talk about Carry On. You can try that for $1. You can try Grounded for $1. And I really do. Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's what's going to suck people in and make them go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Stick around.
Affirmative.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Number four, this was speaking of EA, because remember, we just talked about Star Wars and how, why it costs $40. It just had the EA just had the best June quarter ever. This is Eddie over at GameSpot. The global pandemic is keeping people staying at home and looking for things to do. Gaming, in particular, has enjoyed a huge uptick in playtime and spending due to the virus. Electronic Arts has now put that increase into perspective with hard data. The company reported earnings for the quarter ended June 30, and it was the best June quarter in the company's 38-year history. EA posted a total revenue of $1.46 billion for the period, while the company made a profit of $365 million. The overwhelming majority of EA's revenue for the quarter, $1.1 billion, came from microtransactions, which are called live services. Quote, this was an extraordinary quarter, and we're deeply proud of everything our teams at Electronic Arts are doing for our players and communities, EA CEO Andrew Wilson said. We launched new games, deeply engaged players in our live services, and welcomed tens of millions of new players to our network. It was an unprecedented first quarter of growth for our business, and we will continue building up that, building on that strength with more innovative experiences, more groundbreaking content, and more ways to connect with friends and play great games throughout the year, end quote. EA CFO Blake Jorgensen added that player engagement numbers for EA's games were exceptionally high and above EA's own forecast. Obviously, Larry, congratulations to EA for making a bunch of money. But I wanted to have more of a jump-off point with you of when the pandemic starts, shelter in place starts, everybody starts working from home.
Let's just say when 2020 started.
When 2020's, you know, first act of being able to do anything outside ended. Did you see spending go up? Did you think, and I don't mean like at Xbox, I'm saying, did you predict that? Because my concern was it would actually have a chilling effect. People weren't working as much. You know, you're in this limbo of what's going to happen that you wouldn't see people spend. But now, obviously, I look at how short-sighted I was, forgetting that, well, if you're not driving and you're not getting movies and you're not going out to vacations, you actually have more income to spend on something that is 100 hours, 60 hours, whatever.
Yeah, to your point, I would point to our earnings, which we announced last week, where we did talk about some of those Xbox numbers being quite extraordinary. I don't have them at my fingertips here, but sure. Yeah, I mean, we saw the numbers that we publicly announced last week in our earnings report. That was very clear that people were buying games and spending time. They were checking out Game Pass. They were playing a lot of games. We saw record usage in many levels. So. It was, you know, you're right. People, I think people were like, they didn't know, and we still, to a point, don't know how long we're in this for, do we?
No. That's the thing. And I never bring it up because I never want to even admit it's a real thing. But like, we all say, oh, can we get 2020 over with? And I'm like, sure. But is 2021, no one's agreed that January 2021, guess what, everybody? Back to work, back to movies, back to sporting.
The masks don't come off in 2021, right?
Yeah, right.
It's just going to be, we talked about this. This is a new way of living for a lot of people, for everybody.
Yeah, 100%. And so everybody stay safe. Everybody wear your masks. Everybody be better to each other. Major Nelson.
All right.
You have the doc in front of you, right?
I do. Do I have to read this out loud?
Don't act like we rehearsed. Major Nelson, I'm excited to see how much money EA makes next quarter, but next quarter is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily host show hosts each and every weekday.
There he is, Big Kev Dog. Now, Kevin, don't go too far because you're going to be a part of this one in a second.
What's up?
Don't go too far. Stay close. Okay? Out today, not on PS4, Switch, and PC. Family Mysteries, Poisonous Promises on Xbox One and Switch. Fairy Tale on PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. Cat Quest Plus, Cat Quest 2 Possum Pack on PS4 and Switch. Castle Storm 2 on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Heroes of Hammerwatch Ultimate Edition on Xbox One. Seasons of the Samurai, Xbox One. Lost Wing, Switch. Then Fae Tactics on PC. Then Swim Out on Xbox One.
I got to tell you, I was playing this before I joined the show. This has an amazing graphical. It's a puzzle game. I mean, I love this game. I can't wait to go back to it.
The reason this is what I'm talking about, because last week, of course, you guys teamed up with Jeff Keighley and Summer Game Fest and had this amazing, I think, awesome, the future of what this should be when you're doing some kind of game event of, hey, here are 70 plus games for you to go on. They're demos. Go play. I thought you guys did such a great job of messaging it, Major Nelson, of saying, you know what? These aren't finished. These aren't the kind of demos you'd normally get on the store. These are the kind of demos you would get at a PAX, at a whatever, at a show floor thing. Which is the future and is awesome and everybody needs to do. And I did a stream where I played a whole bunch of them. Swim Out is one of the ones I played. And Kevin, this is the one I called you about on the stream, if you remember. This is the one
really?
That's like, yeah, Kevin, we call the GoPro because he was obsessed with Hitman Go, Lara Croft Go, all those Square Enix Montreal puzzle games.
Has he played Go? You know, the little white and black.
I have not. But I've always wanted to.
That's the original Go.
Kevin, this is your jam.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to try this.
And of course, it's on Xbox Game Pass.
So we're all set.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You got to get in there and play it. And I want to see some reports, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Dodo Peak comes to Switch. Paint Your Pet comes to Switch. Nicole comes to Switch. The Executioner comes to Switch. Foot Goal Taika Taka comes to Switch. Tiny Racer comes to Switch. Zango Shark Adventure comes to PC. Rebirth Online comes to PC. 7N7 comes to PC. Super Box Land D-Make comes to PC. Artha Epic Card Battle Game comes to PC. Frederick comes to PC. Rangers comes to PC. Gravity Square comes to PC. Cappy has released today the largest grindstone content update to date. The daily grind update introduces 50 levels and a new titular daily grind mode, complete with leaderboards, 5 new gold items, blueprints, and the new pickaxe and gold rush garb, and various bug fixes. Whew, that's a lot. Grindstone's a great game.
That was a mouthful.
To both Kevin and Larry, yeah, I see your messages. Calm down, everybody. All right, we got a heart out at 11.
You're just nonchalant about it. You know what I mean? Freaking out.
You know what? Larry was talking about it yesterday on We Have Cool Friends. He was hired to be the cruise ship captain of the SS director. Xbox Live. All right, yeah, I almost had it. I am the cruise director of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Everyone will get to their stops. Don't you worry, everybody.
And have fun while doing it.
Exactly. We're going to have a great time. New dates for you. Battletoads finally has a release date, August 20th. Xbox Game Pass members can pre-install the game right now on console or PC starting today. Of course, you can do that through your Xbox app on PC, or download the Xbox Game Pass mobile app for Apple or Android and pre-install it to your console or PC. I will be honest, I did not realize until I read this today that there was an Xbox Game Pass app for Apple where I could download stuff and force it. And I downloaded it and I used it.
Are you enjoying it?
It was easy. That's the convenience I want. I because that's what I was talking about, right? I should do Swim Out actually too. I hear something, I'm like, oh, that's fun. That's easy. And then you just get it and you're done. You're ready. Done. Kevin, download it on your Android. Then
I'm on it. I'm actually doing that. No, I have it. Yeah, Game Pass. There it is.
All right, thank you very much. GameSpot has this new date for you. Nintendo is celebrating Splatoon's third anniversary by announcing another Splatfest for the game. The event takes place next month, and like May's bonus one-off Splatfest, it's a repeat of a previous theme. This one is asking the age-old question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? This is August 21st.
Which did?
It's got to be the chicken, right? Kevin, sure. Science with Kev, biology with Kev?
Yeah, it was the chicken.
How could the egg just materialize? It needed
right. It was the chicken.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
Football Manager 2021 has been delayed to later this year at some point because of COVID-19. Find the letter H.
The chicken came in an egg.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Evolution, though. Whatever
yeah,
the chicken
yeah,
was
yeah, but like the
chicken.
Egg just by default has to come first. And then the chicken came out of it. Oh, my God.
Find the letter H will be launching. You're the one all worried about the timeline. You're just stopping the show for this. Find the letter H will be launching on Steam Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. And then Double Kick Heroes will be launching on Steam and Nintendo Switch on August 13th, followed by a simultaneous release on Xbox Game Pass for the Xbox One and PC and the Xbox and Microsoft Store August 28th. Hadn't heard of this game until I got the press release today, Larry. Watched the trailer. Immediately went to Twitter. Tweeted the trailer. It's a rhythm game that looks like Mad Max. That's heavy metal. Yeah, I'm all in.
Check. Done.
You know what I mean? It is time. Oh, I gotta do the ad still. That's what you're all freaked out about, Kevin.
Yep. 100%.
I see you. All right, cool. You want to put me in? We can say goodbye to Major Nelson, and you can put me into a one shot, and then I can do that thing, and we can do it that way.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Will that work?
Oh, yeah, totally. Don't worry about it. I see why he was there. I didn't understand. All right, so it turns out Kevin was right. Kevin's the cruise director. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know what I mean? That's how it is.
I think I'm more in the engine room, you know, being like, it's on fire!
Captain, I can't give it any more coal!
Larry, Scott, Captain.
Yes. We're going to let you go, but of course, you're going to record this afternoon the Kind of Funny XCast episode 3. Yeah. It'll be up tomorrow, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Are we going to do 3 shows again next week?
You can come by and do anything. You know, I was telling you after We Have Cool Friends yesterday, you have a career in podcasting. You know what I mean? I know that Jeff Rubenstein doesn't want you in front of the camera. He doesn't want you talking to anybody, but you got a future in it.
Yeah, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him.
Zombie blog back. Thank you, as always, for your time. Major Nelson.
My pleasure. You guys are great. Keep up with you. I appreciate all your audience. Hit me up on at Twitter. Let me know what you think. And I'm looking forward to joining the show this afternoon and talking more Xbox with that gang.
Yeah, you give Snowbike Mike some crap for me, all right? You make him work for his money.
All day, every day, my friend. All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
All right, don't worry. Your show's still continuing. Everything's still going. Kevin's going to resize me, and then it's what I love the most, a Greg show. It's just Greg. How are you, everybody? It's me, Greg Miller. Should I wait to do the ad until you've resized me the way you want to resize me, Kev?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Play it cool, though. You know what I mean?
I'm playing it cool. My name's Greg Miller, and I like video games. I'm downloading Swim Out right now on my app, because that's how it goes when you use Xbox Game Pass.
Okay, well, that's close.
Singing songs with
you. You're playing it so cool during the thing. I was just like,
No, it's just the ad that I forgot. You know what I mean?
You were going in order, so it's not like it was out of its place.
I knew I was going long when we were in the Roper Report, so I should have thought to push the ad up, and I forgot to. Sure, that's on me, everybody. Sure. You know what I mean? So even Greg Miller makes a mistake. Now, do I make as many mistakes as somebody like Blessing? No. But I do make mistakes.
I don't think you can say that. I don't think that's fair.
Why would you go after Blessing? You love him.
All right, there you go. You got your own little camera. Look pretty chill. I gotta go deal with this cat and dog fighting, all right?
Yeah, okay, cool. Hey, everybody. We're going to talk about our sponsor. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be part of the show. Get your questions read. Be a Patreon producer. Get it ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklinen. You probably heard us talk about Brooklinen before. They're the home of the internet's favorite sheets. But their towels? They're also amazing. They give your daily routines a little something extra, and with varying levels of plushness, the towel of your dreams is waiting to wrap you up. And with all this extra time at home, it might be nice to invest in a little extraordinary softness and absorbency. How do we know that they're absorbent? I, Greg Miller, dry myself, my entire naked body, with a Brooklinen towel each and every morning. And let me tell you, it keeps me dry as the Sahara Desert, but it is soft as Portillo's fur. I'm joking around a lot, obviously, but I do use Brooklinen towels, and I do like Brooklinen towels, and I really like my Brooklinen sheets, because you've heard me talk about those now, I think, for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, because, of course, Brooklinen originally popped up with luxury bedding. You go there, you mix and match, you can click, you can see the colors, and you can match it all up. That's what I did. But now they got towels, and let me tell you, the towels are as great as the bedding. If you've been looking for ways to turn your bathroom into a miniature spa, Brooklinen's towels can help you find your zen. Brooklinen is the perfect place to find all the comforts of home, including ultra soft towels. They're so confident in their product that everything comes with a lifetime warranty. Use the promo code GAMES for 10% off your first order at brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen, BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES, GAMES, GAMES. Brooklinen, everything you need for your most comfortable life. I almost forgot that part. I just did that one part. I didn't want to do the other part. You know what I mean? I had a reader mail question in here. Let me see if I can.
I don't think you did.
I did. It's right here. I'm looking at it. Right here.
Yeah. I see.
No, yeah, that was Boars in 00. Your question almost made it, but I would say send it into the XCast too, because that's more you were. I knew there was. It's a thing. I'm like, I'm with you. And then I get to the end. I'm like, oh, that's Larry would answer that one for you. So then the XCast. Instead, I'm going to look over here at the chat. Log game IQ. I don't say anything interesting either, you know. Oh, Andy Cortez is trying to butt into the show apparently too. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Let's call this motherfucker.
No, don't do that. I already have this all set up. You know what I mean?
Who cares? Don't resize it. Big deal.
Oh my god, calm.
I did. I called him. He's called. It's ring a ding ding, Andy. Ring a ding ding, Andy.
Get the phone.
Join the video. I have to join video, Mijo.
He said he doesn't have to join.
Yeah, no, until whatever.
I already resized it. Join.
You resized it. Join video, Mijo.
Hey,
there it is. Look at that, Andy Cortez. He's the understudy for Major Nelson.
You talking video games?
We're talking some video games, bro.
Wow.
How you doing? You been playing some games recently? What'd you play last night? What'd you stream last night, Big Cat?
I can't tell you.
All right, we were doing the embargo stuff. I keep forgetting that because I keep asking you. That? No, you can't talk
about
that.
I can't tell you, Big Dog, but I can tell you what I can tell you. I can't give any impressions on it, but I have Horizon Zero Dawn on PC. How about that?
Holy shit. Fuck that, man. Wow.
Yeah.
You can say that. You're sure you didn't just violate a car?
Yeah, no, I can say that, yeah.
Thank you very
much. As of 2 days ago. Wow. So that's all I can say. Nobody, guys, I can't give any more scoops, okay, guys?
Is Aloy still in it?
That remains to be seen, Greg.
Wow, damn, dude. I love it when you keep me guessing. That's huge. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Really exciting. So what's going on? How was Major Nelson?
He's great. Yeah. Love that guy. Yeah. You watched We Have Cool Friends with him yesterday, right?
I did. It was an incredible episode. Everybody should go watch it. And I'm really glad that somebody in the subreddit just linked it and was like, guys, trust me, watch this episode. It's really good. And and I feel like that about a lot of our content, Greg.
Andy, I didn't get to watch it. Can you sum it up for me?
Oof. All right. Well, Major Nelson, I mean, he's just had a crazy career, Kev.
Yeah.
And it's always awesome hearing stories from people on the ground floor of some of the biggest things that you've experienced in your life when it comes to pop culture. It's really awesome. But Andy, Kevin, he told a great story about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, was it a bad story? Did we finally get some dirt on this Mr. Rogers guy?
It's a little sad. It's sad, but it's not bad.
Okay.
Made me cry, though. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Andy, before we get out of here, we have a question from Cass Poole, who says, Andy, playing Fall Guys beta this weekend?
I am. I'm playing tonight with Snowbike Mike. Really excited.
Thanks for the invite.
You can play on PS4 now?
No, but I can download PS4? It. I have this. What do you think I'm broadcasting this on? You think this is coming from the cloud?
It's true. We all
I'm kidding. I think I got to play the other thing, the embargo thing, so don't worry about it. Next week, I'll be all over PS4 version.
Okay, but how far into the embargo thing do we have to play?
I don't like this.
As much as you want.
You guys, I think we're getting dangerously close. Also, Greg, do you want to play together? How does that work?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, great. We'll figure it out afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be down for that too. I'd be down for that too.
Oh, no, I thought you had a thing with Mike. It's okay. It's fine.
No, but what I need is
you want to go be BFFs with Mike and Kevin A6. Go for it.
Imran says an hour and a half. And that makes sense. That sounds right, you know what I mean?
Imran says like an hour and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I would love for you to join us, Greg. But I think we kind of have to save it for a more official Fall Guys stream.
I'm down for that.
You know, like when it actually releases.
Honestly, what I prefer you to do is not play any more Fall Guys, because I don't feel like you having an unfair advantage. Because for a long time, I played it all at E3, so I knew what I was doing, and I was a Fall Guys expert. But then you have a PC that you like using, and so you played a lot of that the other weekend.
Is this still Games Daily or?
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I already hear the best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun. Today, it is our weekly check-in from the one and only Mark Freeman, who is, of course, promoting the Kind of Funny Best Friends Community Zoom. You can get all the details on his Twitter, at TheIndieBoy1, that is the numeral one. TheIndieBoy1 writes, "This week's Community Zoom will be Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific, but likely will go much longer. They have been going for as long as 8 or 9 hours recently. Everyone's welcome, and these are a great way to meet best friends or just connect to people in these isolating times. As usual, the details are on my Twitter, at TheIndieBoy1, in the pinned tweet. Hope to see you there, Mark Freeman." Kind of Funny Best Friends, don't feel alone. Go hang out with TheIndieBoy1, usually MC Fixer, a bunch of other good folks. Let's check in with kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Time to see what we screwed up. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you go there, you tell us what we screw up, and we go on. Frankfurter says, "We missed a new date. Hyperscape is coming out to consoles on August 11th. No, that's not.
Yeah, Sparkler makes a great point. Says Andy got nothing wrong, which
that's great. You don't see that. That's
true. Yeah,
that's why you're number one, dude. That's why you're number
Frankfurter
one.
Frankfurter says, "We missed a deal today. The Humble Bundle Double Fine is up for $9 and includes every PC game they've ever developed." To which I would say, that's not news, because we, of course, broke that information on We Have Cool Friends Monday with Tim Schafer. Frankfurter, time yourself out for 20 minutes.
Thank you.
Later, Frank.
That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a post show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Yeah.
I should have done this from the bed with the headset. We could set up. Here's a new segment.
Do while I do the outro. While I do the outro, set yourself up and go over there.
New segment idea: multiplayer Monday from bed, and I just do a 5-minute segment from bed with my headset on.
I feel like we've tried that before.
Just talk to you about the newest multiplayer game. Well, it was done one time though, Kevin. Yeah. So I don't really know.
I feel like you only half committed to it. You know what I mean? Like,
Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We're gonna do a post show over there. Remember, you can get your questions read there. You can squad up over there. If you have no money to toss our way, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Next week, we currently, this will probably change, have a totally normal hosting schedule. Monday, Blessing and Tim. Tuesday, Blessing and Imran. Wednesday, Greg and Gary. Thursday, Greg and Blessing. Friday, Blessing and Greg.
Wow, that Gary guy's back.
We'll see. I don't believe it. You know what I mean? Yeah, if he isn't hanging out with Brie Larson or a mystery guest, he doesn't want to come in.
I don't like this mystery guest thing.
I don't like it either.
Greg, you know what? With Gary, enough with the being surprised about cool stuff. You made a Star Wars movie, all right, guys? Enough with the beans. You're enough good. With we the how is this impressed. My life? You know, you were in a Star Wars. You know, come on. Enough.
Did you see this thing? I didn't see it till it was on our subreddit. Did you see this T-Pain interaction he had?
No, I did not. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that in the post show. Until next time, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It's been our pleasure to serve you.
Bye, everybody.
Wait, I want to hear about it too.
Well, then do the post show.
Hold on.
Oh, you switch off to Barrett, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, later, guys.